Can you say the letter C?
CC Hunt Files.
All right, welcome back. This week's CC Hunt Files. I apologize right now, right off the rip. Sounds like I sucked off a porcupine. I'm battling the dreaded, hopefully not deadly, just kidding, COVID-19 right now. So yeah, sound probably a little different this week than normal, but the show must go on. I got a fun one this week, really excited about it. So here we go. Grizzly Coolers, code WCB. They've got something really cool going on. They're still running their sale right now. That was Black Friday and for Cyber Monday. You guys can still take advantage of that this week. Black Ovis, code WCB10. They've also got a similar deal going on. I think all throughout this week, they're also still running sales that were going to be what was Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all throughout the week. I know Crispy as well is doing that. And then Camo Fire's got some cool stuff for the end of the year coming up. Can't really say a whole lot about that, but I know what they've got planned for their end of the year stuff. Just keep an eye on that. You guys definitely don't want to miss out on, there's a couple huge deals going to be running. I think it's like the last week of December. So just a heads up, keep your eyes open for that. Novix Tree Stands, I'm switching over right now to all my late season stuff. So yeah, I live out of Novix all year, but late season, that's kind of when my time is to shine in those stands, as far as how quiet they are, no squeaks, no creaks. Gosh, I can't tell you how important that is during this time of the year. So if you still got a buck tag in your pocket, definitely check out that Hilo and Four Sticks, man, that's tough to beat. And last but not least, Hunter's Box Club. Shout out to our main man, Devin Leonard, out there in Salt Lake. Just saw him last week. Got to hunt with him quite a bit, so that was always a good time. They got some really good things coming in the box for the upcoming months. If you're not subscribed to that, check them out. And with that being said, my main man, Kurt Geyer, on the other end. I got a fun one planned for you, sir. How we doing?
I'm good, man. I'm doing better than you are, that's for sure.
You really are. You've honestly sound a lot better. You probably look a lot better, and you've had a lot better hunting season than I have had this year, and I'm excited about that. And I definitely want to dive right into the whitetails that have fallen to you the last couple of years, brother. You've definitely went up to another level when it comes to whitetails.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. It's easy when they're tied up. You know what I mean? When someone ties them up and you just come and shoot them, and then somebody else guts them for you, and then you leave. It's living that good life, you know, canned hunts, that type of thing, you know?
I thought we were going to leave big tine and ropes and the bait. And I didn't know I thought we were going to try to squeal around that, but I guess we're just going to go right to it. Well, with that being said,
we're all about
transparency.
That's it. So thanks for having me on.
Well, I mean, what can I say? You know, like I said, I sound like I sucked off a porcupine, and you kill your bucks illegally. So with that being said, we're glad you guys listen in each and every week, and this has been fun. And continue to buy our hats and shirts until they're gone, and that'll be the end.
Until our court dates are settled.
if Brackett can come out on the other end and find Jesus, so can we. So there it is.
Hey, it's all good. Nah,
obviously it really is. Yeah, Jesus, before everybody shuts us off and turns us in, we are joking. But no, for real, though, man, I mean, I've been best friends with you for quite some time and got to follow along and kind of all of us in amongst WCB, like the core five or six of us, you know, we talk on a daily basis. It's always pictures of bucks and who's hunting what and what's going on. And it just seems like the last few years, you know, you've really keyed in on hey, I want to find a buck, I want to kill a buck, but I'm looking for the buck or this buck, a specific buck. And it seems like you've really shifted kind of tactics. It's really paid off for you. I mean, not that you weren't killing really good deer, but it just seems like here in the last few years, you've went from, you know, good bucks to really, really good bucks. And it's been really consistent with what you're doing. What's, you know, how's that just to start with? How's that feel? I mean, you know, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy to kill one or two big ones, but to consistently do it, that's a whole nother level.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, obviously it's cool. It feels good to kill deer. I like killing deer. They're fun to shoot and it's cooler when it's a mature buck. Now, like for the record, I'm not killing 200 inch plus type deer. I'm not even killing 170. Well, I got close to 170 last year, but I'm not killing 175 or plus inch deer twice a year, every year. But I am killing the most mature deer the last few years anyway that I have on the spots that I'm hunting. And I think that's all you can do. And so it just doesn't always work out how you want, but sometimes it does. And I've been fortunate that it has worked out that way the last few years for me. I don't really know. To me, it feels like a slow evolution of just like slowly getting more dialed in on how to get an opportunity at a buck. You know what I mean? So it doesn't feel like I just started going. It's not like I went from 0 to 1,000. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely an evolution. And, you know, with being a good buddy of yours for a lot of years, I've got to kind of watch that. But I guess what I want to dive into is, what do you think you're doing different now than you were doing, say, 5 years ago? You know, I've had people at, you know, this year when I've posted the bucks you've killed, they're like, man, Kurt's really killing it the last couple of years. Like, it seems like he's really dialed in on big mature whitetails, figuring them out and getting them killed. I couldn't agree more. You know, what have you changed, or what are you more particular on, or kind of, where do you think you've kind of, I guess, honed your skill set when it comes to mature whitetails and getting them killed with your bow? You know, obviously you've bought some ground, so you've got, you know, you've got a farm now. You know, just kind of run us through, like, okay, what's different now than, say, a couple years ago, and maybe what you think has led to more success, or I guess you could even call it higher percent plays of success that are leading to opportunities for you.
Yeah, I think the main thing that has changed is like my approach on hunting wind directions and hunting whatever spot that I'm hunting for, like the terrain, and being conscious of like pressure I'm putting on a piece. I'm putting on a piece, not for just in that hunting season, but for all year round. It's like how I'm, like, am I just going in because I'm bored and got nothing else to do and I want to go out and be in the woods? I'm very conscious of that, but I'd say, Clint, are you messing around with your mic or something, dude? There's a whole lot of moving around going on.
Nope.
Oh, gee whiz. It sounds crazy over there, but anyway, okay. It might just be on my end, 'cause I have my headset loud, but, I guess with me, I look at terrain. I think about pressure. I think about wind direction. So I guess when it comes to terrain, I'm looking at where deer naturally want to be, if that makes sense. Like, you know, there's the obvious stuff like pinches and stuff like that. But I don't know. I guess there's no blanket term for me. Like, everybody wants like one answer. Like, this is what I'm doing. But it just depends what I think the prescription needs to be for the spot I'm hunting. Like, if I don't know. Does that make sense? Kind of like I learn the ground as best as I can and make plays on it that way, I guess, and check a lot of places. I might go into a spot and be like, dude, I have no idea how to tackle this. Sit a couple times, make some observations. Trail cams can play a big part of that. And then I adjust accordingly without being too rammy. I don't know.
No, I get that. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel like, okay, so I'm going to break this down, I guess, almost like how I would maybe look at it. Do you feel like you are hunting more about what a buck likes now than what you like? Like, so let's say like wind, for example. I'm a big proponent on, I want to hunt a buck and I want to hunt the wind that he likes. I don't give a shit about what wind's good for me. I'm going to make the wind for that buck. I'm going to make the wind good for him. I'll figure out how to make that good for me. Has that always been your mindset? Is that your mindset now? Did you have to change that? Is that because, you know, you talked about the wind and I know that's a huge, huge factor. If you're going to kill mature whitetails, and you try telling me, nah, I don't really pay attention to the wind, I'm going to call you a liar.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking liar. Like, it just, it's, that's not going to happen. You might get lucky and fool a big buck here and there, without playing the wind consistently, like what you're doing. No, not going to happen.
Yeah. I'd say for sure. Like, that's probably the most important thing. There's, yep. I don't even know how to explain how I'm doing it, I guess. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's hard to just, cause you can't just blanket it. Like, there's a lot of strategy and a lot of thought and a lot of like going back and forth in my head on what move I'm going to make and how I'm going to make it. But yeah, like stand setups, any mobile setup that I go for is I'm not thinking about, well, I need to be there cause the wind's perfect for me. Yeah. I'm thinking about the deer all the time. And I think that's why my, like, as of the, like, say the last 4 years, my percent of success has gone up per sit because of that.
Yep.
Because if the wind's not right for the deer, they're not going to be there, or they're not going to be there when you want them there. Well, that's not to say that like a buck won't move with the wind to his back. They do that. But if you're going in greatest odds of what he's likely going to do. So like wind in and out, entry and exit wind, wind while I'm sitting there, I'm very like deer cast plays a huge part. It helps you visualize like there's a wind change. You know, if you're going to sit all day, if you got to jump down and move, stuff like that. But I'd say like a combination wind entry exit, and then on the sit, and then wind to terrain and like why the deer is going to go through that terrain from point A or point B and where you need to be along that way in the terrain with the wind. All that plays a factor, I think. And then all that goes into the strategy. Like if I'm pre-hanging a Novik setup, like my second buck I shot, I had an echo in a spot on a big, what I consider a pinch point on both sides of it. And I hunted it when I killed that deer, on a spot that I thought he would move through on a northwest wind. And it just happened to work out. But yeah, I'm always factoring in terrain to wind and then to pressure. On the pressure side of things, I don't check trail cams like every other day, like some guys do, just because they get excited. I'm rarely on the properties I hunt. Honestly, like during hunting season, I'm hunting, but I'm hunting with the wind, right? I'm just trying to be as low impact as possible. So if I'm going to scout, it's very quick and I try to just rip the Band-Aid off and get it done if I want to hang a stand. But also too, it's like I'm not afraid to go into a spot with a good wind, even if I know it might not be great for a big buck, just to go in and see what I can see from a distance and then make a game plan. It's complicated. There's no like blanket answer for what I've been doing the last couple of years, you know?
Okay. So Kurt, so I guess let me ask you this, cause I think this is really, this is something that's kind of like fun to think about. So something that you're doing now that would have been different, you wish you could go back in time and switch. Like, let's say it's 2012 or 2015. What you know now, if you could go back, what's something you really think back then that you thought you knew, but you don't, or you just didn't even think to do that now you're doing that you're like, oh my gosh, I could have killed so many more big deer or been in opportunities more if I would have been doing this. What's that? Cause I know for me, I've got a couple that I'd be like, my gosh, I wish I could go back in time and change. Like, what would be something you'd be like, yep, damn, I wish I knew that then.
I think about this a lot, honestly, because I hunted back then. I was hunting a piece that was mostly timber, not a big piece, but mostly timber, and my entry and exit was way off. And that, like, even if the entry exit is a pain in the ass to get into a spot, but it would be game changing to get in and out of that area in the morning, in the dark, or in the afternoon if deer are bedded in the timber nearby. I think coming up with a better entry exit plan for some of the spots I hunted, whether or not it was walking another 100 yards around to get into a spot, that'd be like one of the main things. But I think another thing would be, I always had this like thing in my head that you had to go as deep as possible because that's where the bucks live. They lived in the, all that. And then I've kind of tapered off of that, like hunting new pieces. First thing I did was just dove in deep without actually like learning it from the outside in. And that's how I approach every piece now, you know, whether it's, you know, like the farm I bought is a small piece. And that was like, that's the only option you have on a piece like that. You don't want to dive in the middle of that and blow everything out. And then next thing you know, I'm like, oh, this whole property sucks. What'd I do? I made a mistake here. Rather than doing that, even though it feels cool to do that, go in with a saddle, go in with a hang on and get in the middle of the piece and try it out. That's not always, it feels cool. You feel productive, but in reality, you're more shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to, a deer just learns you're there way quicker going that way without learning how deer use the piece and where deer spend the majority of their time on a piece, going to the middle and then working your way out. It's back asswards, even though it doesn't always seem that way.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you called that out on yourself, because that's definitely something that I also feel. I don't know if it was just the nostalgia of, oh man, there's got to be a giant way back there. I got to go way back. I don't know if that's like what used to captivate me, but I used to do the same shit. And looking back, I'm like, I was walking right by a ton of great buck sign, places bucks bedded, places bucks lived, to go to the back and just blow fucking everything up on the way in and blow everything the fuck up on the way out, just because for some reason that seemed the thing to do. And it's like, I just had no rhyme or reason not to do that.
Yeah.
But looking back, you're like, why in the hell would I ever think to do that?
Also, too, I think one thing that has changed for me, and this is, I think a lot of guys might have this mindset, or it's like a subconscious thing, like going in the morning in the dark and then coming out in the afternoon in the dark. Just because it's dark, it doesn't mean you're under like this invisible cloak and you can get sloppy with your entry exit and you can just bomb across the field and it's dark. They can't see me. It's like that right there. You got to get that out of your head. And since I've got that out of my head, I've seen a lot more deer consistently into longer, deeper waters of the season. So, even if it's like getting to the point, like I used to sit till pitch black, can't see anything, get down and just walk mindlessly back to my truck or the gate or whatever. And now, even if it's gray light, as soon as I can't see my pen, if it's still gray light or whatever, I'm like, okay, I'm getting down so I can see what I'm kind of doing. I can tell there's a deer over there. I can kind of stay with the wind where it's working for me to get the hell out of here. And I think since I've became, now don't get me wrong, there's nights where I'm frustrated because I sat all day and didn't see shit. And I'm just like, fuck it. And I'll barrel across the field just cause I've done that. I do that probably a couple times every year, but it's rare, right? It's like when I'm starting to experience some frustration, which is not good. I know I got to get over that and just stick with my game plan every time. But just cause I'm saying these things doesn't mean I never do them ever. I get lazy sometimes, but I kind of know when I can get lazy and when I can't. And if I'm on a deer and I'm trying to figure them out, that's not the time to get sloppy.
Right.
But entry and exit, dude, is just so big and it's beat to death, but it's number one. If you get to your spot and every deer knows you're going to your spot, then you're not going to see deer at your spot.
Yeah.
So.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's I'm a big, I'm a giant, Bill Winky fan. I've been reading, his articles and following him in different things. And I've had the opportunity to meet Bill a couple times, and he's probably one of my favorite whitetail guys out there. And I mean, that guy lives and dies by entry and exit. I mean, that is his, he'll walk 5 miles if he has to
camp in a low spot. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, just last year he was camping out, like a little spike camp, so that way he didn't have to leave that woodlot and walk across ag fields.
So hardcore.
So if he was gonna, super hardcore. And I never really truly understood, I guess, how important entry and exit was until maybe 10, 12 years ago, talking to him one time, and he like really broke it down. It was probably an hour long conversation at a trade show. And I mean, he really broke down like just, kind of like what me and you have just done, but it was like an hour long. And, it just makes total sense. He's a firm believer in deer will pattern you quicker than you will pattern them. And I mean, I truly believe that as well. I mean, and that all starts with entry and exit. If they figure out how you're going to a tree, like what you stated, once they see that and figure that out and they know where you're going, they now know where they're not going to go. And it's really just that simple.
Yeah, for sure. And then also going back, Clint, what you were saying, like, I think back to like 2012.
Yep.
you know, I killed one of my biggest deer in 2012, actually. But I'll tell you this.
Oh, nice.
I only had one opportunity at that buck, and that's when I killed him. Mm-hmm. But I was on one opportunity a year at a mature deer. If I was lucky, you know. Two was, like, unheard of on this piece of property I was hunting. But I could always bank on if I put my time in, I'd get one opportunity. Right. But the thing is, I was putting so much time in all season long for one opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think if I would have been a little more thoughtful on some of my strategies and wind and entry and exit and the terrain in general, I think I could up that to seeing a lot more deer for longer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I agree with that for sure. I think that's a smart way to look at it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel, and I always went deep, and then I always end up seeing deer. I'm coming down for a lunch break. I'd see them like in spots that I walked past, and I'm like, yep. Oh, fuck, there's got to be something to it. And I kind of had to get out of my head. It's like, it's not motivating to sit in a spot where you don't think deer are going to be. It's hard to sit for long. But once you do that and you learn a spot and you're like, I don't know how this is going to feel. And then you get in there and then you see a bunch of deer and then you're like, ah, shit, I've been looking past this spot forever. And
yep.
I've realized now this is the best spot, you know, the best spot on the farm or whatever, you know. So I don't know. It's complicated. There's no blanket answer. I think you just have to do what works for you where you're hunting. And but I think those three rules, pressure, wind, and I can't even remember the other one. is it terrain. When I say pressure on the deer, wind direction for the deer, and then the terrain.
Right.
I think those three like bullet points you can take anywhere and then adjust from there.
Do you think a lot of people in the woods today, do you think they almost make this a harder, they make, let's say, like the equation to killing a big buck harder than what it should be, or almost like they're making it more difficult than what it really is because of like all the information that's out there. Like sometimes I wonder, you know, do we, I guess, make this a harder game than it needs to and don't just go back to the basics of killing a big buck?
Yeah, like it kind of looked like Charlie from that meme from It's Always Sunny where he's got all the shit on the whiteboard and he's like losing his mind.
Yes, exactly. Talk about that and your thoughts on that because I feel like we do. And sometimes I have to reel myself in. So I'm curious if you ever hit that point where you're like, okay, I need to fucking go back to the A through fucking Z here and quit trying to act like it's this rocket spaceship engineering fucking question that I'm trying to solve.
Yeah, I do think guys probably overcomplicate it. A higher percentage, I think, overcomplicate it than not. But I think they're not doing it on purpose. I just don't think they have enough information to put the puzzle together. So then they start going off and trying to make it this big thing when, you know, maybe the puzzle piece is right in front of them. That's why we talk all the time with all our boys and help each other develop game plans.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I do think people overcomplicate it. I think a lot of it, you know, I said this on the podcast I just did about being tagged out. This is one thing. A lot of people, I think, box their brains into thinking they know more than they know, and that keeps them from considering different options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the example I use in that podcast, everyone's like, oh, that's doe bedding over there. Well, that's buck bedding. It's like deer bed wherever they were going to bed. You know, I mean, there's a high percentage of that's where the majority of the does bed the majority of the time. But there's just certain things that guys get like cocky about in their head, I think, and I'm guilty of it too, where they think they know something and then they don't even consider certain things an option because they've boxed themselves into this straight line way of thinking. And each deer's different, and they're always going to do something a little different.
Yep.
So
no, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's like it's pretty simple to a point, but it's also really fun to make it complicated too. So I get it. It's fun to like make that fucking crazy equation whiteboard thing. It's fun, and then when you do it, it feels even cooler. But
yeah,
you know, it's like I think about every deer I kill. And I think about what that deer did that entire day. You know what I mean? Like the buck I killed early October, what did that buck do for the full day before he walked by me and I shot him. Why? Where did he get up from? And why did he get up? Why did he walk past me? And where is he going?
Yep.
You know, and I think if you think that way and kind of think engineer that process backwards, it can help a lot of guys. And I'm not, and by the way, I don't want to sound like I'm that know-it-all guy. I'm fucking not. I kill good mature deer. I don't kill fucking giants. I'm not putting myself in the giant killer category. But mature deer is a mature deer, no matter, you know, no matter what's on its head.
Very true. Very true. And, you know, a lot of that goes back to, I hear this a lot, you know, guys want to kill, man, I want to kill a 150, I want to kill a 160, I want to kill a 170, and that's great. I mean, fuck, so do we, you know, I mean, I want to kill a 160, 170, 180 every year too. But if you don't have, it's pretty hard to kill a 160, 170, 180 if you don't have a 160, 170, 180 living on your place. And if the biggest, most mature buck on your farm is an 8.5-year-old 140, guess what? That's probably your opportunity to kill a big mature buck that year. Because if there's not a 170 living there, pretty hard to kill one.
Yeah, right. And I ran into that dilemma a little bit. I wanted a certain standard of deer. And so what I did where I killed that first buck early October, he's, you know, just the deer you described. But, you know, I think he's a 7 or 8 year old type buck. And then the second buck is a 5.5-year-old biggest buck I knew about on the piece I killed him on. So you only kill what you have, but that's what makes it fun. You know, I think, I know you battled internally with this a little bit. As soon as I start saying, ah, man, he's not 160, but he's mature, so I'm not going to hunt him though. Then that starts getting no fun. Cause if he's mature, if he's 5.5 and he's 140 or even if he's, let's say he's 120, still a kick ass buck to kill. It's actually the perfect deer to kill.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, you know, like I'm still right now looking for, I guess you could say like the caliber that I'm looking for. But I mean, I'm at the point now where I've also got a couple bucks that are older bucks that I'm like, okay, come December 1st, which is right around the corner, if I don't find quote unquote the giant that I'm looking for, I'm then going to spend the rest of my season just targeting a couple of these old bucks that are 7, 8 years old, and it's time for them to go, and they're great bucks. And that is what it is. You know, it's been weird for me this year. Cause it's the first year in, oh my gosh, probably 12, 13 years that I do not have a specific buck that I'm just chasing this buck. The last 12, 13 bucks I've killed, it's been specific buck. Here's the buck. I'm only going to kill him. This is what I'm doing. So this year's been different for me. It's been kind of fun though. Cause it's different. You know, I don't have a buck to go chase. I'm just looking for, hey, I want to find a good one. And then figure him out, you know? So I haven't had all the history and all the hoopla that goes with a specific buck. So it's been cool cause it's something different. But I'll be honest, I'm a specific buck guy. To me, I love to play that game. I really like that. This year, having kind of a break from that is nice. But I'll be honest, next year, I'll be even more driven to find a mega or a giant that I'm looking for and get back into that. That mm-hmm. I really like that. Now, do you feel like you're going to, I guess that brings up a question in my mind I want to ask you. Do you feel like you are more of a specific, I want to chase a specific buck guy? Or I'm just looking for any good buck on the farm that I know about. Like, does either one of those kind of make you perk up a little more?
I mean, it's always way cooler if you find a specific buck and then hunt him and figure him out and then kill him, you know, as efficiently as possible. That's cool. That's like, what's better than that? I will say it also, like, don't count it out if, you know, if I have a really big buck that I know is mature and I'm like, man, I'll have to see what he looks like in person. But yeah, he would definitely be a great buck to shoot. You know, I'm definitely not going to rule that out. You know, if I'm hunting one mature specific buck and another mature buck that I'm aware of does the same thing, I hope that, I guess, you know, number one hit lister does, for sure I would capitalize on it. But I think the idea of killing this big, you know, named specific buck that you've kind of followed through velvet and all that, that's pretty romantic. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
I think I'm leaning more that way. And the more that I hone in on deer and have more encounters with deer and learn what deer do on certain parts of terrain that I'm hunting, I think those opportunities to kill specific buck become more and more relevant to my hunting as I go through the years, you know?
Do you feel like hunting specific bucks? So like this year you were, you know, you targeted kind of the, both the bucks that you killed. Do you feel like that has taught, that will teach a guy more about big whitetails than just looking for any random buck that walks by?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, there's spots that you set up that are going to be better for any random buck, or they're just good for deer traffic in general. If you can find a spot like that, those spots are fun to sit. But yeah, I think once you like kill one buck that you've known about, and it might just be the area you're hunting. Like if we go back to that buck I killed, I don't know, it's been 2019, that buck, old buck, I called him Creepy. I hunted that deer for, and he was never a huge, huge buck. To be honest, he was, a lot of guys would consider him a bully, but he was 155, 156 when I shot him as a 5.5-year-old. I had him aged. But the year before I would have shot him and he was in the 140s probably. I never even saw him on the hoof, but he was around. I got pictures of him all year and I'm like, I don't know what he's doing. And then one day, I mean, like long story short for him, one day I hung a stand, did a guess and check, saw him come out of an area and I'm like, oh shit, that's where he's bedding. And then that basically unlocked the treasure cove of like, shit, he's in there.
Right.
And then 2 weeks later when I had a good wind for what I thought would be the good wind for his bed, I went in and I shot him at like 12 yards. But, and I kind of just waited on my opportunity. I'm like, man, hopefully he's still bedded in there. You know, I kind of rolled the dice with that. But I learned so much about that piece of property. And it was a section of the piece that I didn't even go in. I never even went over there before.
Yep.
And I saw him come out of it. I'm like, oh, shit, that's where he's been. And I found a shed not far from there, too. But I don't know. It just took a minute for it to click. But now that I know that, if I have another mature deer that's doing something, I can't figure where the hell he is, I'm always thinking back to that. It's like, man, is he where Creepy spent a lot of his time?
Yep.
You know, it worked for him. Why can't it work for another big mature buck?
Well, and that goes back to something that you said earlier, Kurt, about, you know, guys, they get locked in this box and they're not open-minded and, you know, they don't use their brain when it comes to, okay, let's look at what I know. Let's look at what I don't know. Where's the overlapping gray area at? Like instead it's, they get locked into this little box of, this is what I know. I always laugh when guys say this. Well, a buck has to be doing this. Well, listen, fucker, a buck doesn't have to do anything.
No.
I mean, and I catch myself thinking like that sometimes and I have to like stop and almost like slap myself and be like, okay, number one, let's be real. A buck or any deer doesn't have to do anything. But, you know, I'll hear guys, well, yeah, but you know, they have to be bedding there. They have to be. And it's like, I think when you get yourself in a rut of thinking like that, you're really working against yourself, like you said earlier in this podcast, because instead of being open-minded and taking all the MRI and what you know, what you don't know, and trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, you're trying to force pieces that don't even fit. Because it, you know, you're trying to make a deer do something that he might never do, or you're trying to, in your own mind, make a deer bed somewhere that he's never bedded. And then it's like you're playing this wild goose chase, merry-go-round bullshit game that honestly is never going to come together for you. And I think that almost goes back to, and I'll see if you agree on this or not, but, so I think some guys will look at hunting big bucks of, it's the, okay, if I hunt 100 times a year, sooner or later, I'm going to get an opportunity because I put in all this work and all this effort and all this time. I used to think like that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I do not think like that anymore. Because if you're hunting 95 of those days out of the 100 and the wind wasn't good and you forced yourself to go and the entry exit wasn't good and blah, 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 blah. I mean, honestly, you realistically, just because you hunted all this time does not mean that a big deer is going to walk by you, because you have literally cut your legs off every time you've hunted it, mm-hmm. because you've tipped the deer off, you've burnt the place out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you feel like that holds true in the way you look at it? Or do you think if a guy, you know, you just, okay, hunt, you're eventually going to get an opportunity. Do you agree or disagree with that?
1,000% agree. And
okay,
cause I used to be that way. You know, I thought I'd get my yep. one opportunity a year. Like mm-hmm. I was saying earlier a little bit, like, like hunt. You're, I'm out there yep. putting in the time, can't kill him from the couch, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
you know, there is some truth as you can kill him from the couch. Something, I mean, you can't physically kill them from the couch, but sometimes right. if you sit down on the couch, you're not burning out a spot. And you know, I was just, I feel like, not everybody has this opportunity. But I feel like I've created this opportunity over, this is my 20th deer season. So I've been hunting, mm-hmm. I've been bow hunting for 20 years, and I'm 32. So I feel like I finally got to the point where I've learned where to throttle in and throttle off for the most part, not always. And it's always, mm-hmm. Anytime you say anything deer hunting, it's like in percentages. For most of the time, I feel like I've throttled, I know when to throttle in on a piece, I know when to throttle out. So, but what I've yep. done is I was very fortunate enough to buy a little farm, a 40 acre farm. It's not huge. You'd easily blow up and ruin a 40 acre farm if you're
oh, yeah.
in there too much. I have another yep. permission piece that I do a lot of work on to keep my permission, as far as like mowing, farm work, maintenance, all that stuff that keeps that permission piece for me. And then I have another permission piece that's like 2 hours from my house, so I don't get to go there as much. So mm-hmm. what I've done is I'm very careful how often I'm on those, and I juggle my pressure throughout them.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, and this is what I've kind of been evolving to this. Last 5 years, I had a 6 acre piece on a creek. I hunted that. Early season. That's when the crops were in. That was the best time to capitalize. My dad actually killed
yep.
a really good buck in this piece. It's only, I bet you, an acre and a half of timber. My dad killed yep. a really big buck in there a few years back. We'd throttle our pressure there and not touch our other pieces and try and capitalize on that, and then pull out of there once the crops were out. And then we would yep. juggle our pressure. At that time, we had a lease, and we juggled our pressure there. And then we had a permission piece. So we were very conscious of how we were hitting a spot on what wins right. and how often we did it.
Yep.
So if you can set something like that up, even if it's only an acre or two or a 5 acre pocket or a whatever, you can still be hunting and try and get opportunity there while not hurting another piece for yep. when it counts.
Yep. No, that makes total sense. And I mean, I think that goes back to kind of how we've both said we've evolved out of that hunt mentality. Like now, if I could hunt 20 days on great winds and the percentage for me to score is high out of the 100 instead of hunting 90 out of the 100, I'd take the 20 any day, and I guarantee I'll have more big bucks to show for it. Because like I said, odds are in my favor to not blow deer out and to see the buck I'm after. And what you just described is basically saying the exact same thing with your scenarios on your farms. When it's good, when the iron is hot, you go in. When the iron's not, you don't. And you're not putting unwanted pressure on days when you don't need to, just to say you're out hunting. And I had to get myself out of that mentality. And it sounds like you had to do the same thing, which I think all of us go through that at some point, sooner or later, in like our bow hunting journey.
For sure. And I think a lot of people overlook the power of deer cast when it comes to that. Like, If you just want to hunt, and I mean, I get it, having the itch to go, it does help yep. to have that little 5 acre permission piece that the old man on the corner doesn't give a shit about. And you can just go over there and hunt that, and you're scratching your itch for hunting, but you're not really damaging what you consider your main spot. That's a great option. But also, deer cast can really make you feel comfortable with not going into a spot because maybe the algorithm of the conditions isn't perfect. And you're not hurting your spot cause you're not in there. So there's a lot to consider with that too. You know, there's a lot of power in deer cast, you know, telling you when to hunt, but it's probably more powerful than telling you when not to hunt.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think some guys, you know, because there's going to be guys that are going to be like, oh, well, yeah, it's easy for you, you know, you and Kurt to say that, Clint, whenever you guys can hunt all the time. Yep. And but by no means, and I'm going to speak for both of us, by no means are we telling somebody, hey, if you can only hunt today and DeerCast says it's not great, don't hunt. Because I'll be the first to tell you, if that's your only day to hunt during that week, yeah, absolutely, go freaking hunt. Because right. you never know what's going to happen. But use what you're seeing to try to then, okay, DeerCast is saying, here's what the wind's going to do, here's what's going on, it's not the greatest conditions. Okay, how do I take a low percentage play and try to turn it into a high percentage play if today's the only day I can hunt? Where's my best bang for my buck on a day that's not supposed to be that good?
Yeah.
That's how I would look at that.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, if it's your only day, go hunting. But
yeah, yeah.
But have a reason
right. absolutely.
To go hunting where you're going hunting.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now I want to touch on this because we're before we get too far into this and it's time to wrap it up. Okay, you're getting opportunities, multiple opportunities a year at mature bucks. You're getting in within that 70, 80 yard and closer buffer to where they're in the red zone. Do you feel like you are a more of a calculated killer now than you were when it comes to coming back to full draw and actually going into kill mode? Now it's time to bury the pin and actually, okay, we're going to kill this buck. What has changed, or maybe nothing's changed, but where are you at now versus 5 years ago when it comes to actually, okay, fuck, it's time to bend the limbs back. Where are you at now versus then?
I'd say the big things, you know, I don't know. It just depends on the scenario. Again, this is not, they're not always for sure. It's just that the higher percentages right. is what we're talking. But if, you know, assuming that, I feel like 5-6 years ago when I would shoot at a deer, a lot of times I'd be like, fuck, I don't know what happened. Or there'd be a right. lot of unknown. I'm not sure where I hit it. A lot of like just weird, unexplained occurrences. I smoked him. I thought I smoked him. And then you don't find a deer. It's like, well, if you would have smoked him, he would have fell and died.
Right.
I feel like that stuff was more common because you have less experience drawing back, shooting deer.
Right.
The process from a deer coming in, when to draw, settling your pen, pulling through your shot execution, all of that is, you can hear somebody talk about it on a podcast over and over and over again. The only thing that's going to get you really good at it is real experience of doing it.
Yep.
And I think that's the big thing that's changed for me. I feel like, you know, I could have something happen the next deer I shoot where I'm like, I don't know what happened or whatever. But
right.
This year especially, I just feel like my shot process is strong. You know, pulling back, feeling good when I anchor, knowing I'm looking through my peep right, lined up to my sight housing, feeling the kisser button, shot execution, feeling good, bending, you know, all that stuff, being aware of what the deer's doing, when to shoot, all that stuff, I think plays in. I feel like I'm a calmer shot now when it comes to having a deer in front of me. Mm-hmm. And that's probably number one than I ever have been.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, both buck whitetails I shot this year, I felt very calm and solid. And when I released, my release went off, I had the, as Ross Bigger would say, you're so fucked feeling in my head.
Yep.
You know, like yep. that first buck, perfect double lung. I knocked the heart out on my second buck. Like his face hit the fucking ground. It just felt good. And I felt confident yep. in how the shot felt.
Yep.
And I think after you have that, you practice with that in your mind a little bit more like oh, yeah. during the summer, you know?
Yep. No, absolutely. I mean, confidence is a killer. And I mean, from everything you just said, it sounds like what's changed is just the confidence level of, yep, I'm going to hopefully kill this buck, or I should kill this buck, to, oh yeah, this is absolutely like, this is going to be a dead buck, which I mean that in the world of bow hunting, I mean, that confidence level to go from one to the other, that's big. I mean, that's, yeah. that's huge, especially when you've got a mature buck in front of you, you've done all the work, you've done all this, you know, everything's happening, quick, happening fast. You've got a 5 second window to get drawn back, make it happen. And you know, you've got a lot riding on that shot. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to have to slow down. And I think, it's something else you touched on was slowing down the moment. I know for me, when I really took my, I guess you could say, quote unquote, like when I took my game of killing animals to another level was when I slowed down that final 3-4 seconds of my shot execution and really honed in on like job to job to job.
Yeah.
Anchor, check my yardage tape, center my pin, look at my bubble. Okay. Now I'm going to squeeze till the bow goes off. It was check. You know, once I started doing that, man, a lot of shit started to die and die quick. And it sounds like, you know, you've also like evolved into that too, which is, you know, I think a lot of guys don't talk about that. Like we talk about tips and techniques to put big deer in front of us. And obviously, you know, you're keying in on entry and exit and keying in on the wind more, but that's great. But you still got to kill this fucking buck when he walks by you. And that's like, yeah, you know, that's a big part of this.
You know, if you have a buck coming in and you're just a fucking shit show, I mean, it's good that you're excited, but
right.
But it's not good. You know, if you can't pull it together, and I'll be honest, you know, I need a deer just to come in. If I can, I don't know. I go back and forth. Sometimes I'd rather just have them show up and then I make a shot. Sometimes if you watch it for a long time and get you worked up, but I guess you just really need to think about how to get the deer killed and not think about how cool it's going to be when he's on the ground. Just think about how to get him killed when he's coming in and do it effectively and efficiently.
Yep.
As best as you can. But, you know, it's like some of that stuff becomes almost like your own built-in algorithm. Like the deer comes in, you feel when to draw, you anchor. If you got to stop them, you know how to stop them. And some deer just cooperate with your algorithm. And then you get some deer that just don't. And you can't do nothing about that. But, you know, I do say, you know, if I get a shot at a buck and he's 30 and in, he's fucked. You know, and I think that's the confidence you need. Now, a lot can happen 35, 40 yards and further on a whitetail, especially, you know, sticks, they're jumpy. They might have a doe. If you stop them, they're only going to stop for a little bit. And sometimes it takes a little longer to anchor and go through shot execution at a 40 plus yard longer shot. But I feel like if I got you 30 yards in, I can crank your lungs. So, but you're not always highest percentage we're talking.
Especially if they're feeding on your big time, you know, your platinum pile mixed with some corn and some molasses. I mean, you know, that also helps. Yes. And then, you know, like in Illinois, you guys are allowed to paint spots. So if you got a green dot on the first, second rib and you know, like that's your aiming point. I mean, you're
paint spots,
you know,
on the deer. Shits.
Yeah. You know, like in Ohio, we can bait, but we can't put a spot on the buck to actually aim at. So we have to just aim at just the hair, whereas you guys can dot yours. So it
aiming
makes
at
it,
hair's
it's different.
The worst.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, and it's like, you know, I think back to, so I've only had target panic once, but it was awful. And the last buck, knock on wood, that I've honestly missed from me. Now I've hit some limbs. You know, I've had some deer duck me, that were on high alert, but a buck that I flat out just fucked up on and missed, I'll never forget. And I've told this story on the podcast before, so I'm not going to draw it out, but giant 10 comes in, he's 37 yards. He works a scrape. Like, I mean, I know the yardage, 27. I said 37, 27 yards, works a scrape. I've already got the fucking kegs tapped. The strippers are there. The dust is out. Cocaine's on the tables. I mean, as the buck's walking in, I'm already thinking about the party, how I'm mounting him, you know, what chick's going to want to freaking ride this tine in front of me. Like, yep, I'm 100%.
All the fun stuff.
He walks in. Yeah. Walks in and I fucking shoot over his back at 27. And I remember that day walking out thinking, that's it. That's the end. I'm never going to have that feeling again. I may miss, but it's not going to be I missed because I just flat out fucked up and didn't execute and just acted like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And that was in 2012, I believe. So 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had killed some good bucks prior to that, but I had always kind of battled target panic for about 2 or 3 years on and off. And at that point, I really, 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 for the last 10 years, I mean, I switched over to a hinge and I have just honed in on like, yeah, if you let me come back to full draw, you're really fucked. Like that mentality now is way different than what it was. But you talked about as bucks are coming in and you're a shit show. Oh, I was that, like, I distinctly vividly remember being that guy on a couple bucks, and a few of them I got lucky and killed, and a few I completely missed. And that was the last one that happened to. And there's no worse feeling than knowing that you personally just fucked that up because you're an idiot. Like, you didn't hit a limb. The deer didn't duck. No, you just flat out fucked up. Like, yeah, that's the worst.
It is the worst, and it humbles you fast. I mean,
oh yeah. Teaches you.
But you got to be confident. You know, if there's an, if you're unsure if your arrow's going to hit the deer or not, that's not good.
Yeah. No, not good.
If you're hopeful, oh God, I hope I hit him. And then after you shoot, you're pulling off your bow and immediately looking for where your arrow hit in hopes that you actually hit it. Not good.
Yeah.
You got to change some stuff.
No.
You should know once this release goes off, I'm watching that fletching go right where I'm aiming.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that feeling when you draw back on a deer, you got to change some things.
Yep. Nope. Absolutely. 100%.
And a lot of that goes too, is like, I feel like I've taken some shots at deer that maybe shouldn't have been taken when I was younger. And then the blood track, even if I were to recover the deer, the blood trail was a pain in the dick. And I'm over that. That stuff still happens. It still happens to the best of us. But if I can avoid it by waiting two more seconds and hope for a better shot, I'm going to try my best to wait two more seconds.
Yep.
But
no, absolutely.
I could have a 220-inch buck come in and I get all freaking worked up because I've never had a 220-inch buck in front of me. And here I am at step one all over again.
Right.
I'm not above that.
Oh, yeah.
Not saying I'm not above that at all. But you just never know how a deer's going to get you worked up. But.
Well, and in those moments, it's like you got to fall back on, okay, I know I'm worked up. I got to calm myself down. Okay, what's step one? What's step two? What's step three? And work through your progression. Whereas, a younger Clint, a younger Kurt would just draw back in a fucking total chaotic mindset and just hope for the best. Whereas now I feel like we can, okay, we're rattled. We need to calm down. I can remember when I killed Extra, and he's my biggest at 191, I drew back. He's only 23 yards. I drew back the first time, was so shook. We're at 23 yards. So shook at 23 yards, I couldn't keep the fucking pin on the deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally was like, okay, we're going to let down and do this over. And I've had guys to this day that are like, I can't believe you do that. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I wouldn't have hit the buck. I had to. I had no choice. I knew, let down. Yes, there's a risk you blow this deer up.
Yeah.
Slowly let down. He was feeding in the food plot. Let him down. Let down. Regrouped. Come back to full draw. Gathered my shit. Shot him and double lunged him. But I guarantee you the outcome, if I would have shot that first arrow, man, I really don't know if I honestly would have even hit that fucking deer. I was so rattled. And
yeah.
younger me. That was in 2016. Younger Clint in 2010. Oh, I'd have fucked that opportunity up. Guaranteed. I'd have fucked that up.
Most people would. I mean, shit. That's high pressure, man. A buck like that, biggest buck you'll ever, I'd not say ever kill in your life, but at the time. That's a lot. It's a lot for your brain to process. Antlers get people worked up, man. And that's, that's what it's about. It's fun like that. But,
That's why it's fun.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, I've killed a lot of deer with my bow. I've been very fortunate that I hope when that 190 does step out one day, if it ever does, that I'll feel pretty good when I shoot it.
Well, I guarantee that day's coming. And, like I said, I can't tell you over the years, like I said, I've got to be, grown into a best friends, you and I, and I've got to watch you kill a lot of stuff and really got to be a big part of your life and what you've been doing the last, say, 5 or 6 years. And, I personally can't tell you how proud I am of you, of just the progression of, you've always been, a hell of a bow hunter, and definitely we're getting in on big deer and killing good bucks, but you've definitely come up into another level, another echelon of, you know, man, it's mature bucks. It's the oldest buck. It's the biggest buck. You're a very calculated killer. And I know you've worked really fucking hard to get to that. So, you know, genuinely, and like I said, from a best friend to a best friend, I'm fucking stoked for you and super proud of you, man, because it's not easy. It's hard to go year after year and do what you're doing and continuing to not only have success and get more opportunities and kill mature bucks, but you're also learning and honing and learning and honing. And that's how you go from good to great and from great to one of the fucking legends out there. And I'd say you're well on your way to doing that, man.
Ah, well, thanks, dude. That means a lot. It means a lot. I'm just, I'm having fun with it though, man. I'll be honest. Like every adventure hunt I've ever done, I say adventure hunt, I consider that anything that's not whitetail hunting because it's,
yep.
You know, whitetail hunting is an adventure in our backyard for the most part. But,
right.
But I feel like I've become more obsessed with whitetails than ever after doing other hunts. And,
yep.
I just get more excited to figure deer out and try and shoot them. And just the whole process I love. And, I'm thankful that I have a great crew with you and the rest of the boys from WCB, you know, along with me for the ride and the support. And, I don't think I would have evolved as quickly as I have been and continuing to evolve without a crew like you guys. It's hard to do it on your own. You need good people in your life. So,
yep.
I appreciate the friendship, and, you've been killing it with the CC Hunt Files. It's cool to see. It's a learning curve going from guest to host, but you've done a good job.
Definitely. I appreciate that, man. It's definitely a learning curve, but man, like you said, with hunting, it's having fun, and that's what I've been doing, having fun with this. So yeah, man, I'm stoked to see what the future holds. And, now I gotta go find a big buck, find a mature buck. And, I gotta go pull a Kurt Geyer. I gotta go fucking kill one's what I gotta go do.
I like that. Well, when's Ohio season end?
Oh, I've got a while. So we end the first Sunday in February. So I've still got, I got plenty of time. And you know me, I tend to shine in that cold snow, fucking disaster hunting conditions that not a lot of guys like to hunt. I like that.
Yeah, you'll get one killed. I feel confident. Hey, a couple things before we get out of here. Are you going to be at ATA with us?
I will. Okay. That I will.
I want to, or anybody that really wants to drink a beer with us when we're going to be in Indianapolis that weekend. I think it's like, well, it's not even on a weekend. It's like the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I believe, right?
Yep. So January 12th, I want listeners in downtown Indianapolis, what's a good bar to go to drink some beers and hang out with a big hunting crowd? And, Jared Mills was calling me. And then, basically, where do we need to go to all drink beer together? So,
I like that.
Listeners, if anybody's in Indy and wants to have a beer, like, where do we go? A bar that's near downtown. And then, we'll have the Working Class Bow Hunter Media Room, which will be at ATA, which will be cool as hell. And then,
for sure.
January 7th, it's the weekend before ATA, we're hosting a South Africa hunting clinic. And we got it all out. I'll give you the deets. I haven't even promoted this yet on WCB. This is brand new. It was in like yesterday. The Hitching Post in West Point, Iowa, January 7th at 2 p.m. We're doing the South Africa hunting clinic hosted by Pringles Safaris, which is who we went with when we went to Africa, presented by Old Barn Taxidermy and WCB Podcast. Basically, Stuart's throwing together some special hunt package pricing for Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast and CC Hunt Files listeners. So if you come out, it is free admission to come to the clinic. We're going to teach you everything you need to know, from booking your trip, booking your flight, flying with your gear, getting there, the lodging, all the shit you need to know, the animal shot placement, hunting conditions, all that, getting back, getting your tax, and everything you need to go, or anything you would ever be worried about booking a trip to South Africa. We're going to make you feel comfortable about it. I feel so passionate about every bow hunter needs to experience South Africa. So if you guys want to come out January 7th, there's no admission fee. There's going to be a bar there so you can buy beer, and we're talking about either hiring in a food truck or having like finger food and stuff like that. So, that's brand new to the WCB schedule for the year.
So. Yeah, it's awesome. Anybody interested in hunting South Africa, which everybody should go do, I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to do it this year since last year didn't work out for me. But I got a lot of buddies outside of just, you know, you guys at WCB that have hunted over there. And I don't know anybody that has ever said they would not go back again or every year if possible. I mean, yeah, it's a whole other... That's a whole nother adventure, a whole nother deal for another day. But yeah, let's just leave it at that. It's definitely fucking badass. There's no doubt.
Yep. No, got every bow hunter's got to experience it one time in their life. So,
yep.
So we're going to try and help people go for cheap. That's the goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all. I had to make my announcement there.
No, that's badass, man. Yeah. And like Kurt said, like, that's no bullshit. We just put that together. That all just, you know. That just happened like yesterday. Yep. So that's all fresh, fresh off the streets for you guys. So yeah, that's a cool way that, you know, Kurt and the rest of us, the whole gang's able to kind of give back to you guys, you know, try to help out a little bit where we can and cheapen up some prices for you and whatnot, and even make it more affordable than it already was, which is really cool.
For sure. That's right.
So, well, cool. Well, Kurt, hey, can't thank you enough, man. Really looking forward to what the next year brings. Like I said, I'm going to have to put my Kurt Geyer cap on and go slock a big one. I used Tim Wells's word there, slock. I don't know why.
I've been saying cranked. Cranked is my word lately.
Ooh, cranked. Ooh, when I hear the word crank, I think of that fucking Soulja Boy song, Crank That Soulja Boy. Yeah, that was back in like 2006. That's what I think of.
Now I don't like that anymore. That.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
See, I ruined it for you. Fuck, my bad. Anyways.
I just think when you shoot one and when you crank them, it takes them out. And you're just like, damn, that hit them hard.
I like that. So now, yeah, so I just need to. Maybe I'll get Soulja Boy on the podcast. Maybe he hunts deer. Maybe we don't even know that. And he can talk about fucking cranking one.
It'd actually be really cool.
It really would. I'll see what I can do for next week.
I'm doubtful.
All right. You crazy bastards know what to do. Don't fucking settle.
Can you
see you next week.
Measure C? CNC Hunt Files.